This is the Blog This Podcast, episode 2.
Welcome to the Blog This Podcast. Jeff Mendelson and Hillary Faverman discuss digital marketing, social media, and entrepreneurship with a bit of snark thrown in for good measure, minus the hype and BS normally associated with these topics. Our take is a more practical approach to launching, running, and marketing your small business, finding your voice, and building your brand, all while maintaining balance with your actual life, assuming you have one.
Hey man, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yourself? What's going on?
I'm feeling all kinds of inspired.
Yeah.
And I will tell you why.
How'd you do that?
Okay. First of all, I'm overwhelmed. And anytime I feel overwhelmed, I have to make some sort of conscious choice to springboard and capitalize on these feelings or to like curl up in a fetal position and sing Disney songs in the corner. Now, I don't have a lot of flexibility in my life, given the kids and the job and, you know, that stuff. So the Disney songs are not, I think, my best option.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the Hebrew word for that is zorim. I'm going to flow with.
You're going to flow with it. You're going to go with the flow.
I'm going to flow with it. I'm going to go with the flow.
Okay.
These overwhelmed feelings. And I'll tell you why I'm overwhelmed and what I'm doing about it and how awesome I think it's going to be.
So, all right. So what, first of all, before you begin, is this a good overwhelming feeling or is this a debilitating overwhelming feeling?
No, good.
Good?
Inspiring. Empowering.
I love empowerment. Tell me, how are you inspired?
Good things are happening.
Okay.
So many good things are happening, which is not a problem, and I am not complaining.
Okay.
It's just a matter of how to breathe through, manage, manipulate, accept, work with all this fabulous stuff that's happening. And what I want to talk about today is the power of networking and what networking has been able to do for me even lately. I mean,
define
even
lately,
if we're talking
like the
about-
the past month, past 6 months?
10 days.
10 days.
Ooh, 10 days.
Preach it, girl. I want to hear this.
What have you done for me lately? So what networking has done for me lately, suddenly, I went to 2 conferences last week.
Okay.
Which were, I mean, they were juxtaposed to each other completely. The first conference was digital marketing, English-speaking digital marketers in Jerusalem. Amazingly enough, there are enough of them to fill a room. We're talking about probably about 200 people.
Wow.
Experts from SEO to branding to graphics folks to Google Analytics people, mobile experts, social media folks, bloggers, startups, funders, all these different kinds of experts who got into
a room. So wait a second, you're talking about the players and the pretenders?
You mean like the wannabes?
The wannabes and the real people doing the business.
There were the real people doing the business who were speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the wannabes like me who are totally in the trenches and doing this stuff every day, but wouldn't command a title like ninja or guru or thought leader.
Well, that's because I didn't show up at that conference.
Clearly.
Exactly.
So the folks who would generate or earn some title like that, and if anybody calls themselves one of those things, I will literally punch them in the face. Those people were speaking. I mean, they flew in experts from London, from the States. This was like a big deal.
Wow. Okay.
So because I'm a big Twitter hoe and I was tweeting all day, obviously with the hashtag of the conference, I gained 50 Twitter followers that day, literally nice. In a span of like 4 hours. Because I'm tweeting and they're tweeting and we're all big tweet junkies.
Were you one of the most prolific, tweeters
that day? Tweeters?
Yeah.
See, tweeter used to mean heroin addict. It doesn't anymore.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Just so we're clear.
Okay. No, it's 2013. So
I was one of the most prolific tweeters at the conference and I wasn't very well known when I walked in the door that morning.
But you were when you left.
But I was when I left. First of all, I have a big mouth. There are disadvantages mm-hmm. to having a big mouth.
Okay.
Especially a Jew growing up in Milwaukee. People aren't used to that. But here, I mean, listen, I'm not only in a country of Jews, I am sitting at a digital marketing conference in a room full of tweeting Jews. I mean, talk about big mouths. We were,
people,
you know,
who all think that they know more than you. Would that be fair to say? Okay.
Yes, but they're funny. These people are all funny and they're geeks. You know, networking used to be dressing up in a suit that you're not comfortable with, going to a horrible, badly fluorescent lit room at the Ramada and crunching bad food and handing out your business card and talking to people you don't want to talk to about stuff you don't want to talk about, trying to sell something you don't care about.
Man, you just described just about every Chamber of Commerce meeting I've ever gone to.
Exactly.
Okay.
And networking isn't that anymore. It's not. That's not my experience. It's certainly not in the last 10 days. I am meeting fellow geeks. Okay. These are all the people who were not invited to the after parties at the football games, just like I wasn't.
Okay.
These are people who were in the high school band with me. These are people who are now considered movers, shakers, thought leaders, God forbid the word, but yes, people who are inspired and inspiring. And I have grown, especially lately, to love networking. At the risk of sounding self-deprecating, not one of the sharpest tacks in the drawer at this conference. These people spoke way above me. They were talking about A/B testing. They were talking about funnels. They were talking about, they were using words I didn't know. But I would rather be the dumbest one in the room and learn a whole bunch than the smartest one in the room and waste my time.
Okay.
Now, the conference the following day used to be branded as the Haredi Women in Business Conference
Haredi for those who don't know.
Haredi basically means, some people call them penguins. That's not my word.
Okay.
It only means that they wear black and white. They are the guys in Brooklyn that you'll see. They're the guys in a neighborhood called Mea Shearim or B'nai Brak in Israel that you'll see. They're in suits. They have black hats on. They're very religious Jews. They have, the men have beards and what they call peot, which is like long hair on the sides of their face, but the rest of their hair is really, really short.
So what you're defining is a very insular community, which does not mix with the outside world.
And many of them don't.
And you, by the way, are not Haredi.
No.
Okay.
I'm an atheist. Let's be clear.
Okay. Living in Israel. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a different podcast completely. Right. To have a Haredi Women in Business Conference all together is a big step in that world.
Okay.
Because mostly they don't mix in the business world. Certainly not the women.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last few years, there has been an initiative, a real shift to empowering and encouraging these women from these tiny little insulated communities, often who are encouraged not to go online, not to mix, not to read the newspaper, not to listen to the radio, in order to keep their traditions and their culture very pure. So this is monumental.
I mean, this is a monumental shift in the way these women are gathering together, are seeing themselves, and are exposing themselves to the outside world. I mean, let's not mince words here.
They're being encouraged to learn and to learn things that'll make money. That's a big deal.
And now, how did you get involved in this? Because you just said a few minutes ago that you don't mix with this community.
No,
although you do, live in relative close proximity to them. This is not your circle.
This is not my circle socially, no, because if I say things like shit or crap, they freak out.
Okay.
So no.
Let's keep this rated PG.
Right, sorry.
Okay.
So I needed to open my mind.
Okay.
There are smart, savvy women in this community, English speaking women who are making money online. They are graphic designers. They are web marketing specialists. They are bloggers. I don't want to cut myself off from the possibility of learning from, networking with, and helping contributing to that community just because they cover their hair, they wear long skirts, they say things like Baruch Hashem, which
thank God
means thank God, but they pepper it in their language so often. How are you this morning, Baruch Hashem? It's an answer to a question.
Okay.
So, you have to get used to their way of speaking. Some of them are comfortable talking to someone who does not speak that way. Some of them are not. Many of them are my employees. I employ 40 women across the country. Many of them are very, very religious or cross that line into Haredi.
All right. So just let me state the obvious. This was a women's only conference. I would not have been allowed.
No.
Okay.
Women's only conference. Absolutely. Like build, marketed. You cannot buy a ticket unless you are female, period.
What was that experience like for you? And what did you learn?
Oh, I'm very conflicted about my experience. More than anything else, I felt a feeling of sisterhood, acceptance, mutual interest, and people who came together to learn and to contribute. I came across a graphic on Pinterest today that was like a little light bulb, and it said, most people listen with the intent of responding. Try listen with the intent of empathizing, of hearing, of internalizing, of accepting, of thinking.
Wow. Okay.
Women who came to this conference, who attended this conference, and we're talking about women with 5, 6, 8, 11 kids. Okay. In these communities, they have a lot of kids. A lot of these women work. So you're talking about women taking a full day. You're talking 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. out of their life. They've got to arrange for childcare. They got to take a day off of work. All of these things, they've got to arrange transportation. A lot of them don't drive. Many of them don't live in the city. We're talking about cutting a day out of your life, showing up to learn and to share. Wow. I was one of the organizers of this conference this year. Mm-hmm. I facilitated a networking session. So I had 40, 50 women maybe sitting in two separate circles just so everybody had a chance to talk. And I taught them how to give an elevator pitch. What should an elevator pitch include? What should you focus on? And I gave some examples. Let's say you are a clown for children's parties. That's your business. That's what you're marketing. Okay? You can get up and you can say, hi, my name is Manucha, and I enjoy entertaining children at parties. Thank you very much. Here's my card. Mm-hmm. Instead, or what you need to do is differentiate yourself, explain why you are the best person at what you do it, why you love it, and why they should hire you.
So what is a good elevator speech that came out of that? What would be the other side of that, of what Manucha was saying?
I'm Manucha. I run a women-owned and women-run business for female smachot, which basically means, in this language, a party that is attended by women, only women. And I love to be funny. I've been funny all my life. I love to entertain. It brings me joy. And I am the best person to invite and to hire to engage your friends and family at your next simcha, which means big event. I'm going to have an awesome time, and so are you. Here's my card.
How did these women feel after you gave them the before and after?
They were so psyched to learn that this is not rocket science. This doesn't have to be a scary thing, an intimidating thing. Once we finished the 45-minute networking session, I kid you not, 20 of them walked up to me, asked for me for my card. They want to know what I do, how I do it, why I do it, and why I love it. They said,
"What was your elevator pitch then?"
I gave mine first.
Okay.
Because I wanted to give an example.
Mm-hmm.
So because they can feel how excited I am about what I do, and I really do what I do because I'm passionate about it. I want to employ English-speaking women in Israel at a livable wage, doing a challenging job that they love and can raise kids while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can feel how excited I am about my job, and I'm not faking it, and they know it. They can see it. They can feel it. Being genuine is sellable. Find something that to is be genuine about.
I totally agree with that. That is such a cornerstone of my business as well, that you have to be genuine, and you have to show what it is that you do and that you really do care, and you're not just selling a car, a tangible object. You are selling a story. And you are selling a foreseeable outcome.
That's why you're selling a solution to a problem. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to have your elevator pitch energized and have it down and ready. You never know who you're going to come across, how, why. For example, one of the women that I met was looking for a salesperson to help her. She has something called NewsLink. It's an English language advertising circular specifically aimed at the Haredi population.
Okay.
She's not online. She's scared of the internet. Her rabbi has advised her against it.
Okay.
So I talked to her about what Facebook might be able to do for her. And she said, you know, it's not for me. I'm not an internet person. Okay, fair enough. I am, and I bet I could help her. 24 hours later, in one of the networking groups I'm in on Facebook, it's like an Anglo job-seeking kind of a group, mm-hmm. where I often offer expertise in terms of resumes and job-seeking and advice and interview strategies and all that kind of thing. I offer myself as a free resource mm-hmm. in that group. I found someone who posted looking for a sales job, called him up, and said, Bracha Weinberg needs to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I got an email the next day from Bracha Weinberg saying, Hillary, I just love you. Mm-hmm. Made my week, man. Made my week. I didn't get anything out of it. I didn't make any money, but I got two people together who needed each other, and neither of them are going to forget it. I feel awesome. They're happy.
Wow. That's a great inspirational story.
Power of networking, man. If you can get an email that says, I just love you from someone you met 24 hours ago because I listened to her wanting to help her in a genuine manner and I was able to achieve it. Mm-hmm.
That's great. It's wonderful. I love that story.
How are you networking? Are you doing things in a similar kind of manner? I mean, what opportunities do you have in front of you?
You know, it's funny that you asked that question. I found over my career, and I define my career as over, I'd say, the past 8 to 10 years, I've had to reinvent myself a number of times in that short span. So to me, the idea of having a career that you stick with, you know, for the rest of your life, probably what much like what our parents had, totally foreign concept to me. I just don't get it. It's not my experience. It's not what I do.
It's also not our generation. The average person in our generation changes careers 4 times.
Exactly. So
now, considering we don't start to work till we're 20 mm-hmm. and we stop working at 65, that's a pretty regular evolution.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I agree with you 100%. So for me, I mean, just if you look at my LinkedIn profile, none of the companies, now that I think about it, that are on my LinkedIn profile exist today in their present form than when I was there. Okay. That's huge. So basically what that means is, say, for example,
are you a company killer, Jeff?
I was the guy on more than one occasion who got nominated to be either employee of the month or employee of the year or what won some kind of prize within the company, some kind of recognition, and within 6 months got fired or laid off. Happened more than once.
Fire and laid off are two very different things.
More than once and on different occasions and different circumstances. But let's just say every time I got a recognition, I was out the door. And it wasn't because I decided to do it. So for me, that, you know, that sort of salted me a little bit. That's sort of like, okay, how do I do this? This goes back to how I view my career. Because there was this one job where I was already skeptical of how they were approaching me. And basically this guy, you know, the guy who hired me, he was a really fast talker. And I was like, yeah, you know, something, you know, it was a startup based in San Francisco. I'm like, you know, something, your product sounds neat, but you know, show me the money. So he's like, okay. He showed me the money. I had a plane ticket to San Francisco. I went to a office building on Market Street, which is in the downtown area, 20th floor, Herman Miller, wall to wall, everyone dressed up nice. I'm like, okay, I know how much, you know, all that costs. So somebody's obviously got to be funding this. Exactly a year later, we were all out of a job. So what that said to me was that the leaders who were running that company, they somehow cashed out. I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but every single company that I've been with, I realized that they did not have my best interests in mind. So I needed to start thinking about how I'm going to do this myself. Now, for me, after I got my MBA, I was thinking, wow, you know, I got an MBA. Everyone's going to be calling me right now. And as I said before in the previous podcast, crickets, it's still about me selling myself. And I had a
Let me ask you this. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, because you have networked as an employee and you have networked as a business owner, how would you describe the difference in terms of strategy and what you say and how you say it?
Excellent question.
How you've been received in one versus the other.
When I network as an employee for another company, I have this whole army behind me. I have a big name behind me. There's a physical office with a physical address with a receptionist and a bunch of programmers and a bunch of salespeople and a bunch of marketing people. All of those people are working together to work this one business, if you will. That's as an employee.
So you're saying trust is easier to establish given the person you're talking to, because they hear American Express, they hear Oracle, they hear Monster.com, and you don't have to establish legitimacy.
Exactly. So when you walk in with a business card that says American Express, you don't have to explain anything. Okay, you work for American Express. Well, you're going to go talk to C.F. Frost, you know, the guy whose name is on every American Express. No, you don't. You know, it's a 12,000 person. I don't know how many people they have, but you know, it's a huge company. You don't need to say, you know, Blue Box Values. Everyone knows what that is. Right? You see the blue box, it's an instantly recognizable brand.
How are you overcoming the challenge of establishing trust and legitimacy in your networking efforts now that you're on your own?
Here's the big difference. When I was working in corporate, I relied on other people in order to get me to make those introductions. And I realize now I was only the sales engineer. I was never the VP of anything. Right. I was never the director of anything. I think one job they gave me the director of product development or something, but it was such a BS title that I was just like, yeah, right. All right. Why don't you just call me, you know, God, you know, just call me JC. You know, it's like, you know, it didn't make a difference anyways. Right. For me, when I made my presentations as a sales engineer, for example, I was still the cog in the wheel. When I make my presentations as a freelancer or as the owner of Las Olas Technologies, I am the owner of the company. I am the decision maker. I am literally selling myself. So what happens is what I found, and I had a long discussion with a friend of mine, Ed, who lives in Atlanta. You know, he told me something very profound because I was really thinking about this. How am I building a business in the worst recession of our memory? Now, this is between, you know, like between 2008 and 2012. How am I building, you know, this business and I'm making sales. I'm making things happen. I mean, I'm not in danger of losing my house. I'm not in danger of being behind in my mortgage. How am I doing this? Whereas if I send my resume, which has all these great qualifications and all these great things on it, how come I can't get no one to answer my resume, but I can get people to answer my, you know, my prospectus for when I want to sell SEO services? And he told me something very interesting, because you're talking to the decision maker. When I lobby or when I send my resume to Oracle, I'm not talking to the VP of nobody. I'm talking to an HR person who is scanning my resume for keywords. And it's probably not even an HR person anymore. It's probably some piece of software, you know, in this day and age that's scanning my resume. And if it doesn't fit 100%, you know, exactly the algorithm of what they plugged in for this particular position, then I have no chance of getting past that wall. Whereas,
you know, they scan for Harvard.
Sure. Why not? None of them scan for University of Miami. That's their business.
Haha. Yeah. Just a trick, so you know, so the audience knows.
Okay.
We lived in Boston for a year.
Right.
Okay. We hated it. Mm-hmm. It was provincial and difficult and old, and the subway stopped running at 11. Oh, No one had a life. So while we were there, since I had always wanted to live there and we moved there for a job that I was offered and all the rest of it, my husband took some classes at the Harvard Extension School.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a whole bunch of money. You get Harvard professors, Harvard curriculum, Harvard tests.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to get into Harvard. And guess what you get to put on your resume?
That you went to Harvard.
That's right.
And how did that do? How did that work for him?
He's gotten 2 job offers in the last 10 years based on the fact that his resume says Harvard. The man never went to college. Okay. Man. He was in college for, I don't know, a semester and a half studying geology before he decided he would rather spend money on a fish tank, mm-hmm. which we still have, nice. Which was like, I don't know, a $12,000 fish tank or something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But the man took the class, 2 classes, I think, and Harvard is legitimately, we're not lying, Harvard is on his resume. And when that algorithm searches, he gets picked up.
Now, how do we get the University of Miami on there?
Harvard Extension School, I believe,
is an online program, right?
Is an online program.
Nice. I'll look into that. We'll
mental note.
Yeah, mental note. Yeah, we'll see what happens. So to answer your question, how do I network? Miami for me is a good community to network in. It's not the best. It's not the best business community. It's still feels a little provincial to me in terms of getting together with other like-minded tech people. Now, we do have a number of groups. We have like Refresh Miami. We have the Social Media Club of Miami. And they do manage to bring in a lot of people. And I've attended a few of their events. And they really are good in quality events. Now, you know, I really got to hand it off to, you know, the organizers that do it. What happens, though, is that it really depends on you. It really depends on how comfortable you are that you can go up and present your business card and present your case. Like, hey, I develop websites and I do search engine optimization. You go to a networking event like that, that's around tech. Well, you know, you're meeting 40 other people that are doing the exact same thing. What always kills me about going to these events, though, is that when I talk to another SEO or another person that does something similar that I do, that automatically they get defensive. And then they get like, oh, no, I can't talk to you because we're competition. And I look at them like they just grew horns and a tail. Like,
I find that so absurd. I got to tell you, the first 100 people I followed on Twitter are people in my business.
Exactly.
What can I learn from you? Let me learn something from you. Maybe you've thought of something I haven't. Maybe we can have a conversation and I've been wrestling with a certain issue and you've overcome it. Why would we stay away from people in our own business?
Exactly. And even here in South Florida, I am a firm believer that there's more than enough business for everybody. And no one's going to corner the market. There's no one who's going to, because at the end of the day, even if you were to lobby some of my clients, you probably wouldn't be able to win them because they like the service that I give. They like the fact that I pick up the phone on the second or third ring. They like the fact that I answer emails on weekends. Not everyone does that, right?
Plus, you do work in Spanish and in Hebrew and in English.
I work everywhere. I work everywhere. I am not shy and I am proud of it. I feel I have a pretty wide network. Every time I look at my network, like on LinkedIn and the other emails and groups that I'm involved in, I'm always surprised at how large my reach is. And at the same time, it's exhilarating. It's gotten to the point where I can take it and say, wow, look at this. You know, it's like, even if I can't answer a question,
I know who can,
and I can.
And people know, and they come to rely on a resource to either answer their question, give a virtual introduction, or point them in the right direction. We don't need to know everything. We just need to know who knows where to look, where to go, and once you've established a reputation, which I think we both have, as someone who is selflessly interested in connecting people to who they need, you become a portal. People come to you for all kinds of things.
Hillary, let me ask you this. What would you say are your 3 best tips for networking?
Don't be intimidated.
Just walk up and say something.
For example, at this conference where I was, the Haredi Women's Conference, mm-hmm. a graphic designer attended my networking session. Afterwards, everybody was sitting in the cafeteria eating broccoli quiche, and she found me, walked right up to me, slapped a binder on the lunch table. Okay, I'm in the middle of a conversation with somebody. She wasn't mm-hmm. rude. She waited
she was
until
aggressive.
I took a breath. She was assertive.
Assertive. Good word.
She put her binder on the table and said, "You seem to know a lot of people. I would love for to familiarize you with my work for 3 minutes so you can know who I am, what I do, where I excel. Because even if you don't need my business, I bet you know someone who does."
Okay.
That was Ariel Questel. Mm-hmm. She's my graphic designer.
Nice. All right. So that's one. Don't be intimidated.
Okay. Don't be intimidated. Two, tell a story.
Gotta have
Everybody
something to tell.
Likes a storyteller. You got to make stories out of things. Take an artistic license.
So you're saying embellish your story a little bit?
A little bit. A little bit. Don't lie. Run around becoming a liar. Okay. I'm saying embellish. Tell a story that people want to hear. Don't tell jokes. Don't be a jokester. People want to hear interesting stories. For example, what I tell people who I'm coaching, I coach a lot of people on interviewing strategy, okay? If you sent out your resume and you get a response, first of all, that's a very big deal because the person reading resumes, like you said, is reading 1,000 of them, mm-hmm. okay? If you get some kind of a response and they invite you in for an interview, you are already qualified. They wouldn't be wasting their time if you were not qualified. You can already do the job. You know it and they know it. They're interviewing you because they want to work with someone they like. They want to work with someone who they can have coffee with. They want to work with someone who they want to ask, how was your weekend? And not be uncomfortable and not feel pressured or like they're making small talk. They want to work with someone who they like. The interview is a likability factor kind of a question. So all you have to do, because you're already qualified, you know it and they know it, is be likable. Get a couple of stories ready. Decide what you want to focus on, what you want to display, and what attributes would make you especially qualified, marketable, or applicable to this position. Get your stories in line. Work them into the conversation. Drive that conversation so that you can demonstrate in a fun, flippant, engaging, humorous, relaxed kind of a way, but have your stories ready in your head. Be a storyteller.
So right now what you're saying is be assertive, tell a story. Now,
correct.
That kind of, those two answers, right, apply to whether you are applying for a job or whether you are presenting to a potential client for VA services, graphic design services, for any kind of service that you can offer. It's the same advice.
What you're doing is selling. Are you selling a service? Are you selling your company? Are you selling yourself?
That's a good question.
On a first mm-hmm. date, you got the same deal. What you're trying to do is interest the other party in exploring this further. We are all selling.
That's profound. So all those dates that I went on, I was being a salesman?
Apparently you were a bad storyteller till you met Belinda.
There you go.
But considering that she makes the best guacamole in the entire state of Florida, you chose well.
Exactly. Yeah. I know how to choose my guac, let me tell you.
Yes. Yes, you do. And you know, that's a very important qualification, guac making.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how else are you supposed to weave that into everything else that she cooks? No, my wife is a great cook and I tell her that every single time. So you're right.
She is one hell of a cook. I can vouch for that.
Yeah. So what's your third suggestion?
Stay away from the jargon.
Remove the jargon.
Remove the jargon because you're going to end up sounding conceited. If you are in a very tailored market, you're an SEO guy and you're in a room full of SEO guys, go ahead because they're going to understand what you're saying. But if you're an SEO guy talking to an HR person or a purchasing manager or a VP of sales or someone who potentially there's a shred of a chance that they're not going to understand your jargon, what you're doing is patronizing them. not because you want to, not because you meant to, but they're going to end up feeling stupid. And this person that you're networking with or pitching yourself to in one flavor or another needs to walk away feeling flattered, excited, intrigued, not stupid.
And wanting to know more.
Correct. If you insult them, you have backfired.
Good job. All right. So cool. So we got three. So we have three things here. Be assertive, tell a story, and remove the jargon. Hillary?
Remove the jargon.
That is excellent advice. I really appreciate it. So tell me, how did these two conferences help you out? Next week, what is it? Next week, you're going to another conference, right?
I have been invited to the presidential conference, the Israeli presidential conference facing tomorrow, which is really an honor. I'm very excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm trying my best not to be intimidated. We're talking about Bill Clinton speaking.
So Bill Clinton's going to be there. Who else is going to be there?
Shimon Peres, which is the president. He's going to be speaking.
So this is akin to being invited to Washington, D.C. to one of those black tie affairs where all
this
the power
is
the brokers.
The nation's capital and the movers and the shakers are showing up. Yeah. Sharon Stone's going to be there. Okay. And I'm being invited as a blogger. You cannot attend this thing without an invitation. You can't pay. You can't buy your way in. You know, one of the big buzzwords around here, they call it vitamin P. Mm-hmm. Vitamin P
protection.
Is protexia. Mm-hmm. And protexia in English is protection. Usually you get where you need to go in this country by protexia. You cannot get an invitation to this conference by protexia. It's based on reputation. So the fact that I've been invited as a blogger, because I blog personally and I blog for Secretary in Israel and I blog for my ghost blogging clients, of course, I won't tell you who they are, but I have been blogging for money for some time. Mm-hmm. I really dig it. I'm good at it. And someone has recognized that I'm good at this and that I love it. And they've invited me not only to attend the conference as a blogger, but to participate in blogger-only sessions, which means it is exclusive enough that not even the general population at the conference is invited to these sessions. It's bloggers only. And Sharon Stone, of all people, oddly, is running one of these sessions. So I'm going to have some sort of exclusive access to Sharon Stone. I think that's really ironic, considering she did Basic Instinct and, you know, how exclusive is access to Sharon Stone?
I'm impressed. I mean, I'm going to be real excited to hear about this on our next podcast of how that conference went and what that has done both for you, your brand, your reputation, and your business.
Talk about networking opportunities. I mean, people are flying in from other countries for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super psyched. I am printing more business cards as we speak.
Nice. All right. Well, beautiful. Hillary, I think... this has been an incredibly inspiring episode. I'm really psyched about this. I'm really glad that, you've taken the time to speak about this. I hope that everyone else listening is inspired and can really realize that no matter what your station in life, that even if you're, you know, in a closed community or you have certain rules that are imposed by you, either by choice or not by choice, on how to get out. The opportunities that the internet gives you today are certainly out there, and they really enable almost anybody, male or female, working a day job or unemployed or freelancing, to go out there and actually get and take the bull by the horns and achieve what it is that they're looking for. And I think that's very inspiring.
Be compelling. Tell a story. People want to hear a story.
Beautiful. Hillary, thank you so much for your time. We're going to talk again soon.
It's been great, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right. You got it. Have a good night.
You've been listening to the Blog This podcast with Jeff and Hillary. Be sure to check us out at blogthispodcast.com for more. That's blogthispodcast.com. Thanks for listening.